Happy New Year. I think this is the last week that I can legally say Happy New Year. And after that, it's just bad New Year all the time. I don't really know what I'm talking about. Happy week. Welcome back to the Stage Right Side. I am your host, James Whiteside. Thank you for joining me. And I'm back in New York City, which is really strange. I've been gone for a little while. I was in Connecticut with my family, and then I was upstate with my best friends in Rhinebeck. And the city is so wild. I always forget how exhausting it is here. I've been back for a day, and I feel like I want to go to bed at 5 p.m. Just the energy it takes to do anything is wild. Like the train alone, and you're just panicked and feel like you're going to die. It's exciting. I'll give it that. So I was in Rhinecliff, which is it's right next to Rhinebeck, which is a little bit bigger town in upstate New York. It's like a half an hour away from Hudson, maybe. And I was there because I was doing a little writer's retreat. Also, I was hanging out with my friends, which is super fun. But yeah, I was there. I'm working on another book, and I feel like I made a lot of progress, and I feel really good about that. And I just wanted to let you know what my writing schedule is like when I go away somewhere and I write. So, you know, I'll get up in the morning, I'll make coffee, and then I'll sit down with my coffee and start clackety-clacking away. So the book that I'm working on, I can't really tell you about it yet, but I started outlining it in 2021, and then I started writing it in 2023. And so it's been a couple of years in what I guess like now 5 years or whatever. And, you know, I don't have a whole lot of time to write. So I like to take weeks where I'm like, all right, this is a writing week where I'll go run away upstate, which is, my friends, Nate and Peter have a house in upstate New York. And that's where I wrote much of my last book as well. My first book, I wrote at their house as well. But that was before they did any renovations on their house. And I remember sitting up on the second floor of their house, not realizing that the heat was working. And so all I had was a heat dish just sat in front of me. And I was bundled up, like literally was wearing a winter coat to type because I was there alone. I didn't realize that their heat worked. So yeah, my bad. So this time, it was all like renovated and super nice. And yeah, it was really productive. So I'll write for a couple, like an hour and a half or something. Then I'll eat something and then I'll keep writing some more. And then I'll take a lunch break and have a coffee and get back to writing. Maybe take like a little like 15, 20 minute power nap or do a little meditation, which inevitably ends up in results in me falling asleep for like 20 minutes. Then I'll get back to writing. And it's just like that day after day. And sometimes I'll come back and write a little bit more after dinner or before dinner or something. So it's just, you know, taking little like walks around. And, you know, my friends were there. So I'd go and bug them and say, hello, hi, pay attention to me. My brain hurts. It was really fun. And I don't know when my next like writing session will be, but I really want to get this book wrapped up and sold, if you know what I'm saying. So stay tuned, more on that when I have more to share. It also snowed like crazy up there. It was so pretty, oh my gosh. And it's colder than it is in the city. And it was just so idyllic. Like I just sat at my little window and was typing away while it snowed outside. It felt really fierce. I love writing. So that brings me also, I've been trying to encourage you all to go check out my Substack. And I have a little excerpt of an article that I had written for this week that I wanted to share with you. It's called The Secrets of Longevity in Ballet. So I, as you well know, I'm one of the more mature dancers at American Ballet Theatre, shall we say. And I've been doing this professionally since I was 18. So I understand how difficult it is to maintain a viable career in ballet. So I wrote a little article about it, and here we go. I also want to just do a little caveat moment and say that this is coming from my perspective as a person who has been so lucky, so fortunate, and slayed the house down boots mama in my career. It's gone above and beyond what I envisioned for myself. So all of that, so you don't get mad at me. The Secrets of Longevity in Ballet, A Tale of Losses and Gains by moi. It's no secret that a career in classical ballet is short. That is, if you compare it with other career paths, teachers, lawyers, pianists, etc. I have been lucky enough to have a career that spans nearly 2.5 decades, and I'm still going. Longevity in ballet ends up being all about ratios of loss to gain, and I am writing this simply to share my experiences. Let's start with the losses, since that's a little depressing, and I refuse to end on negatives. Ooh, girl, the body goes. I think back to the early Instagram days of doing photo shoots with strangers, during which I'd be doing C-stones at 9 a.m. in a parking lot in L.A., and I think to myself, ouch. I recall performing Basilio in Don Quixote or Ali in Le Corsair. Both are full-length classical ballets chock-full of jumping and shudder. That being said, I loved doing both of those ballets. Corsair has pretty much been canceled, so I doubt I'll have to do that again, but Don Quixote shall return. I say a polite no thank you to my dear friend Basilio. With each year of violence we inflict upon our bodies, the sands in the hourglass of peak physical superhumanity fall. How long until they run out? Well, we all have different hourglasses. Now, let's do a gain. I suppose I shall oscillate for drama. So I'm going to stop there because I want you to hopefully go and read the article for yourself so you don't have to listen to my stilted reading aloud here. So go check out the rest of the article. It's live on my Substack as of the time that this podcast goes live as well. So go check it out. Just look up my name on Substack. You'll find me. And I hope you enjoy it. It's all about what we gain from what we lose when we stick with it. And I hope you can all appreciate that for your own lives and, you know, what you're experiencing and what you have experienced. So yeah, go enjoy that. Thank you for listening to me. I also want to talk about, I saw Avatar 2. So I know there's a third one, and I wanted to discuss my thoughts about Avatar 2. Avatar 2, I don't know if you ever saw the first one. It's about the blue giant cat people on the planet where it's like Fern Gully, where the evil corporate, like Earth Corporation or whatever, comes and wants to chop down all the trees to get the, you know, the fierce goo or whatever. And Avatar 2, I enjoyed it very much. And like when I examine blockbusters, you know, that I've seen in the past, like I'll compare it with like Avengers or something, which is another movie that earns like literal billions of dollars from merch and ticket sales and stuff. And I feel like it's the lesser of those evils because I think it's very beautiful to look at and creative in its sort of world. That doesn't mean I think it's like good. I find it really entertaining and super fast paced and fun. But there are a couple things that I want to discuss that I really struggled with. And it makes me feel like they don't have gay people like in the focus group. Number one, the use of the word bro. All of the sort of Gen Z teens in the movie, they're all like blue cat people and blue like water cat people. They all say bro. They're like, bro, we cannot go to the river because the river will, you know, be swarmed with military. And they all have these vaguely sort of like quasi-Jamaican accents. And I'm like, these are all like white actors with the exception of like Zoe Saldana. And I feel uncomfortable as an audience member. And them, like every male character being like, bro, bro, bro. It feels like the cool kids in high school and I don't want to be a part of that. Another complaint. One of the teen girl characters is a like half-breed, I guess, between a Na'vi and a human. And she looked like Katy Perry, which is wild that the cat person looked like Katy Perry. B, her voice, she was voiced by Sigourney Weaver. Okay. And in the movie, her mother is allegedly Sigourney Weaver. My issue with Sigourney Weaver voicing a like 13, 14-year-old girl is that no matter what a voice actor does, like with their natural voice, I can still tell, I know Sigourney Weaver's voice so well, A, and B, she sounds like an older woman. And it's very weird to watch like this blue cat teen sound 70 or whatever, or 60 in her 60s. No shade to Sigourney. I'm a fan. I love her work. She's great. Alien is one of my favorite movies ever. Yeah, I don't know. So that, also, I don't know what people in the military feel, but every movie has like an angry Southern white general being horrible. And if I certainly am not in the military, but I would get really tired of that trope. And so the whole plot is based on this guy, this general being like, oh, I was killed by the cat people and now I was cloned and now I'm a cat person. So I want to go kill the people, even though I'm in a fiercer body now. I'd be like, if I woke up and I was a cat person, I'd be like, oh, girl, I have like super fierce strength and I could like have glow in the dark freckles. Like, sorry, that's fierce. So I don't know how that is the central, you know, hinge of the plot. Not gagging for that. Also, all of the cat people have like locks and cornrows and braids, and many of the voice actors are white people. So it feels a little like teetering on blackface with also with the ambiguous accent. I don't know. I'm watching it being like, does anybody else think this is weird? Like, it's very beautiful and very like high octane, very fun, very imaginative. The music is pretty. Like, it just looks gorgeous. And it clearly cost a bajillion dollars. But I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, what's going on? What is this? Something stinks, if you ask me. But that's just my opinion. I know nothing, Jon Snow. But that being said, I am going to go see the third one because I'm curious, and curiosity killed the cat. More things I have been watching recently. I finished the first premiere season of Pluribus, which is an Apple TV show where the entire world is sent like a sort of virus, I guess, that makes them all a hive mind, like an alien hive mind, basically. And sort of in one day, like, Discord is eradicated. And it's about the very, you know, small number of people who have not been affected by this mind virus. It's about it's one woman's journey on, like, how she copes with it and how to perhaps reverse it if she even wants to. I find it to be, like, low-key very boring, but really interesting from a what-would-I-do perspective. And she is so infuriating. She is so unlikable, but she's doing a good job at that. You know, she's convincing me. So I recommend that. It's on Apple TV as well. I have been taking a lot, like the past 2.5 weeks off of ballet. So my body after Nutcracker needed a moment. And I think it's very important every once in a while to let your body heal. That being said, it's going to be really difficult to come back. I had rehearsal today, actually, because we have an American Ballet Theater marketing shoot this week where we're getting video and photo materials for brochures, like commercials, you know, Instagram, the stuff you see on the subways or whatever. So I had rehearsal today because I am shooting like a ballet that we're doing next year that hasn't been announced yet, so I can't say it. But I've never done it before. And it was fun. It's great. It was very like chill, easy rehearsal day. My body feels okay considering. And then I'll do class tomorrow. And then I think I have my shoot is like 4 hours. which could be painful or fine. We'll find out. I'm sure I'll be sore. I'm always sore after photo shoots because you do the same thing over and over and over again and you get like super crooked and lopsided with it all. And then I do another one on Friday. So getting back into the swing of things, next week we have a regular rehearsal week and I'm sure that's when my body is really going to be like, yeah, why? On Sunday, I'm doing a photo shoot with someone I've collaborated with a number of times. His name is Mike Ruiz. And I don't know if any of y'all ever watched, what's it called? Top Model, America's Next Top Model with Tyra Banks. Mike Ruiz was the like lead photographer. So they would be like, all right, now you're going to like burp underwater. And that's Mike Ruiz shooting the ladies. So he and I have done a number of shoots together over the years, and he has his own publication called Photo Book Magazine, and it's just his photography, and he does like fashion stories with different, you know, fashion houses, mama. And I think he's going to like dust me or something, have me like jumping around. We'll see. Should be amusing nonetheless. My approach to being photographed has changed over the years. I used to really, like I said in that Substack, you know, I used to jump around on the streets of LA at 9 a.m. And I'm not doing that anymore. It's giving on the ground. It's giving laying down. It's giving court, like, Weekend at Bernie's, you know? So that should be really fun. So I'll post those eventually, of course. And let's see, what am I listening to? Reading, watching, listening. I don't know if all of you know Robin. She's a Swedish pop singer, and she has a couple new songs out that I've really been enjoying. It's very like dance floor, dance pop, very fun. Really enjoy that. And I'm on the third book of the Rhyria Revelations, which is a fantasy series, and I'm really enjoying the third book. It's all coming together. And I recommend that. I don't know who wrote that, so I'm sorry, but it's Rhyria, like R-I-Y-R-I-A, I think, Revelations. And if you like fantasy, it's very palatable, sort of accessible fantasy. It's a big world, but it's not like impossible to remember people's names and stuff, in my opinion. All right, so you might hate it, so I'm sorry. I'm always looking for recommendations for things to read, watch, listen to, you know. And if you want to ask me any questions about what we're doing at ABT or what I'm doing just generally in my life, I want to encourage you to email me. You can just email thestagerightside@gmail.com and I'll take a look at those and answer my favorite questions right here on The Stage Right Side. All right. So email me at thestagerightside@gmail.com. That's really all I have for you this week. And I just want to say thank you for joining me every week on The Stage Right Side. I'll be back next week and I'll tell you tales of my first rehearsal week back at ABT in the new year. Hope you're having a great year and talk real soon. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!